The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, Matt, so I don't know if you know this or not, but if you spell the words absolutely nothing backwards, you get Ningtun Yelit Lospa, which ironically means absolutely nothing. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing pretty great.
Good, good. It's this will come out. We're ahead, so it won't pertain to what we're doing right now. But we're both coming up on the end of the school year.
And oh yeah,
there's a lot of stuff going on with end of school year and with the kids and stuff.
I got one graduating. So thank goodness that I've already had one graduate college.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have three in college at the same time.
Right, right. Yep.
Okay. So the most I can handle is two. and the next one graduates at the end of this year. So I will get a reprieve of only having one.
Oh, yeah.
For a couple of years.
That'll be good.
So, yeah.
That'll be good. Yeah, because I'm sure that's a headache. I've only got to deal with one, and I'm worried about that one. So... but before we get into it, we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting if you're interested in that. While you're listening to the show or watching us on YouTube or whatever you're doing, share the show. You know, we grow by word of mouth more than anything, because Matt and I are independent podcasters, and it's been you guys that have gotten us to where we are now. And if you could just share an episode, share a clip of an episode, whatever you want to share, talk about us, something, but share us on social media and let's get more people into the graveyard. You know, if you got a TikTok, go over there and share one of our intro jokes or something on TikTok and say, hey, go check out these idiots. You know, one wears a hat all the time. The other one wears glasses all the time. You know, dude, something, whatever you want to say about it.
He does now because he's old and blind.
Right. But
I'm telling you, go back and look. You see the progression of Matt's beard.
Yeah.
You know, from the old original videos to now.
Yep.
And then you're like, yeah, he's got a gray beard because he's got all these damn kids in college.
Right. Right. But. Well, that's really all I got this week for housekeeping. So, Matt, why don't you tell us what are we doing this week?
All right. So kind of like what we did a few weeks ago, where I took over the show and presented the full topic. Adam is going to do that for us tonight. And it's not a surprise. He's told me what we're going to talk about, but that's about it. And this is pretty interesting. And I'll tell you, when you brought it up, I saw Tom Segura do a joke about this.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was in his last special or the one before, but it's hilarious. I mean, it is absolutely hilarious, the joke. But
Tom Segura is just funny.
He's funny. He's really funny. But he's talking about how conditions may or may not be funny,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he says this one would have the potential, you know, to
yeah.
be kind of humorous.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So we're going to talk about foreign accent syndrome.
Yep. Yep.
Which I've witnessed in person.
Really?
So right. we'll talk more about it.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
It kind of knocked me back because I didn't realize what I was experiencing until I was told.
Right.
And then it was kind of like, really?
Yeah. Yep. And the reason I wanted to do this is, you know, you're probably sitting here going, this has nothing to do with the paranormal. No, it's not paranormal, but it is a mystery.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's a medical mystery. And you know, Matt, I am a sucker for a good medical mystery. We do them on Patreon a lot in shorter form. And I'm a sucker for medical mysteries, medical abnormalities. And to me, what I take away from this is you get to see how wild your brain can be. And that can relate to paranormal stuff. Because
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Your brain can manifest things, do some interesting, abnormal, weird things. And this is one that we know medically happens. We don't know why. We're learning, yeah. Which I'll talk about, but we don't exactly know why.
Yeah. But think about it this way too. 100 years ago, 300 years ago, what were some of the quote unquote diagnoses for mental illness?
Yeah.
They were possessed by a demon.
Yep.
They had gnomes living in their blood or something.
Yep.
You
got moths on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. They needed, shock treatments or
bloodletting.
You know, they had eaten something that had something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, that's paranormal.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you can imagine somebody that's suffering from, you know, chronic anemia or something and has pale skin, you know, and, you know, they don't get out in the bright light. Could, you know, in the 1700s, would have been a vampire.
Yeah.
Or at least suspected.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, again, a medical condition that we just don't understand, it absolutely could fall into the realm of the paranormal.
Right. And as we said last week when we talked with Jim Harold, you know, anything scientific that we don't understand today is considered magic.
That's true.
So, you know, it falls into the same. What we don't understand medically could be paranormal. We could mm-hmm. consider it paranormal. And in 100 years from now, we go, oh, that's not really paranormal. We understand it now scientifically. Mm-hmm. But as we always say, go check the bottom of our show notes for the sources. You can find where I found all this information. You can keep going because there is a lot more information out there that I can't cram into this episode. Stuff that gets real scientific if you want to get into that. But check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. Now, what is foreign accent syndrome? And this comes from the Cleveland Clinic. They said foreign accent syndrome, or FAS, is a condition where the way you talk shifts and changes in a way that's sudden and very noticeable. As the name suggests, it sounds to others like you've started talking with a foreign accent. FAS may indicate something is disrupting your brain function. Though a person with FAS may sound like they're speaking with a different accent, it's usually a change in how a person makes certain sounds, language experts and people who naturally have that accent or a similar one can typically pick out that it doesn't fully match the accent that it sounds most like, which I'm going to touch on this again here in a minute. But one of the issues that I have is they say this several times that it's not that you have a different accent. It's that the way you speak has changed. That is an accent.
Right. Yeah.
The slight differences in my accent versus your accent are what makes it different Texas to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
The changes in the way you sound when you speak is an accent. So to me, I don't understand why they're saying it that way. Because they're saying, no, it's not a foreign accent. It's that they've just totally changed the way they speak. Okay.
I guess I can see where they're coming from. Because potentially, I guess it could be an accent that doesn't exist necessarily.
Sure. But then it's an accent.
If it sounds, yeah. If it's, and it's foreign because we don't know what. You know.
Right.
But if it sounds like an accent that we already are familiar with, like if you sounded Australian or like you were from Germany or something like that, it would be different because we're kind of in tune to understanding those accents. Now, if somebody said, you know, I'm from, you know, British Guiana,
mm-hmm.
like your accent.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard it before.
Right.
Maybe it's just like Great Britain, but I bet it's not. I bet it's a little different.
Sure. Sure.
You know, I'm just not familiar with it. Yeah. You know?
Yep. And that's exactly what would make it a foreign accent. It's foreign to the person hearing it because it's not their accent. So anyway, now FAST is extremely rare. Pierre Marie, a French neurologist, first described the condition in 1907, and there are about 100 confirmed cases on record since then. But I've also seen some papers that said there are up to 200-plus cases that have been confirmed. So for our purposes, we'll just say there's between 100 and 200 cases that have been confirmed as foreign accent syndrome.
It's one of those weird things. You'll hear about these really rare diseases or something, and then you read a statistic where it's like, you know, they scientifically know, they've named it for the physician that identified it, whatever. And then it's like, only 4 cases have ever been known worldwide.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 4?
Right. Right.
Is it even a thing if it's just 4?
Right. Is it a condition or is it just abnormalities, like genetic abnormalities?
But I mean, when you start saying, well, this has happened somewhere between 100 and 200 times, you kind of go, okay, you know, that I bet it's happened a lot more before they realized what was going on.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we got hundreds of years of history where this could happen to someone and everybody just be like, why is Frank talking funny?
Yep.
You know,
well, I guess that's how he talks now.
It's that demon that attacked him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, they have confirmed 100 to 200 cases, which like you said, there could be thousands that have been unconfirmed. Now, one of the things I was talking about that we need to look at is where do accents come from? So accents tend to be developed from living among specific groups of people for a long enough time. So usually you're most impressionable to picking up an accent when you're young, you know, your formative years while you're learning to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So when you live in a group during that time, you tend to pick up those accents. Mm-hmm. It's like when you see, people who immigrated out of Asia to the UK,
Oh yeah.
The parents have the accent from where they were from in, you know, China or Taiwan or wherever. And then their children have a British accent.
Right.
Because they spent a lot of time around people who have a British accent in school, in their daily lives. So when you're a child, that's usually when your accent can change. Like you could have an Australian accent, move to Great Britain as a child, and then end up with a more British accent.
Oh, certainly.
So
I'll tell you this, cause I know she'll never hear it. But I know someone. I'm going to be more vague than I was going to be. But I have a friend, or yeah, a friend who lived in Europe for a period of time when she was younger. Okay. Lived in Russia, lived in England, talks like she's from right here.
Yeah.
Lived here long enough to have lost any of that, but we'll have friends from England come and stay and visit for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, within hours of them getting here, you know,
it's come back. Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point that it's kind of funny, you know, because yeah. you're like, you're putting on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know.
But I would imagine there is a level of that.
Sure.
If yep. even if you weren't born there, you spend enough time there, it's going to change your own accent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So well, kind of,
except for me, mine will never, ever go away. I could live on the moon and I'd still sound like I was from Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, when I moved up to Tennessee, I lived there for 15 years. Some of my less accent, more Texas isms mm-hmm. went away. You know, they kind of faded a little bit, but I had people that I worked with that when I came back from a trip to Texas, they're like, oh, that deep Texas is back, you know, because it was more how I said things rather than my accent.
Mm.
But it does. You can tell like when you get angry, maybe that comes out a little more. There's things that can change it some, you know, when I get angry, my redneck flares big time. Like the redneck in my voice comes out a lot. So.
And what's funny is since doing this, I listen to your voice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more so than anybody else. And I guess I listened to it so much, I didn't pick up on any changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I might, if I went back and listened to when we started the show,
early episodes, now, yeah,
I might be able to tell, but the transition with me, with you and I talking as often as we do, I didn't notice anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you like you said, you come back and the guys that you used to work with, they picked up on it real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they hadn't heard it in a while. It came back and oh, it's thicker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now accents are part of a larger group of pronunciations that are called dialect. And every person has an accent that is the result of how, when, and where they learned the language that they speak. And that accent can tell others a lot about you. You know, someone might be able to trace an accent to a particular part of the world, coming to a conclusion like, yeah, that guy's from Baltimore or this lady's from London, which is true. You know, you can talk to, like, I got a neighbor who is from Louisiana. Now, he's lived in, you know, North Texas for many years, but there's still things he says that I can pick up. Yeah. He's from Louisiana. Cause I've heard that Louisiana accent enough in my time Then yeah. I'm like, oh, I get it. The way you say certain things, certain words, it seems to stick with you, even though it's toned down because of where he lives now, it's still there and you can tell. So you can kind of say, okay, yeah, I know where that person was born and raised by yeah. their accent.
Mixed in a little Cajun and.
Right. Right.
You need subtitles.
Yeah. Sometimes. Now, isolation has played a role in accent development over the centuries. You know, if a group is isolated from another, it can develop a completely different accent, even though they originally had the same one. You know, nowadays, though, societies are becoming more global and there isn't as much group isolation. So yeah. some accents seem to be fading, which I honestly don't like because I love hearing different accents.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some accents that they say are going by the wayside because we're talking to so many more people. We have access to hearing so many more people at a young age than just the people in your region that speak a certain way. So it's becoming a more homogenous accent. And probably in a couple hundred years, everybody's going to sound the same.
Yeah, wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah, it's a bummer to me because I love different accents.
Everybody would sound like they're from the Midwest US, United States.
Yeah, yeah.
And isn't that that's what they go for newscasters and stuff?
Yep,
you know, Midwest, at least in this country.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for as a dialect with his least amount of, you know, odd pronunciations,
eccentricities.
Or inflections. Yeah. And that would be probably the Midwest here.
Right. Now, there are two main types of foreign accent syndrome. There's structural. The structural FAS can happen when there's damage to areas of your brain that control muscles that you use to speak. So FAS can occur from brain damage, including stroke, traumatic injury, MS, and vascular dementia. So if you have something that causes damage to the structure of your brain, then it can change your accent. And I've got quite a few of those cases here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also functional. Now, this is FAS that develops without a cause that healthcare providers can find. It could occur after seizures or migraines, or it may be linked to mental health conditions that involve disorganized activity and hyperactivity in certain brain areas. Healthcare providers sometimes call this psychogenic FAS, meaning that the cause isn't structural. So this is, and I'll talk about it, that some people have migraines, and then after the migraine, they end up with a different accent.
Wow.
Yeah.
But not permanent.
No, it's permanent. It's been permanent so far.
Oh, okay.
So the functional FAS is the one that is the most perplexing. Because structural, you go, okay, you got hit in the head really hard and it damaged this part of your brain. You had a stroke. And it deprived the speech portion of your brain of oxygen for some amount of time. So it's trying to catch up. And it changes. But functional FAS is nobody really knows. You just have a mild thing like a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up the next day and you have a different accent. You're speaking with an Australian accent or something. So that's the confusing one.
Makes me wonder about like multiple personality disorder.
Yep.
Because I've never met anyone that has that I know of. So I go based on a lot of the video research that I've seen, not movies, actual case study stuff. because I think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it there.
Right.
Where some, not only the accent, but the voice will mm-hmm. change. The inflections change.
Yep.
The pitch, everything, depending on the personality that's coming through.
Yep. And that's what they say with the mental health conditions that may have disorganized activity. So.
It doesn't seem real, even what we understand about it now. It still doesn't seem real.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm discrediting it. I'm just saying it, I guess that's why I'm fascinated by it, is it doesn't compute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just goes to show how amazing the brain really is.
Right. Right. Now there's also two other possible subtypes of FAS. There's the mixed, and this means that you have functional FAS and also have a structural abnormality that doesn't seem to be associated with the FAS. So you could have lesions in a separate part of your brain that don't apply to the speech area of your brain, yet you have FAS. So that's the mixed type. Mm. And there's developmental, where this is a FAS that can happen in people who are neurodivergent. So this type of FAS may happen because of brain development and activity differences. So if you have a mental disorder, like they were talking about, the developmental subtype could come into play. And they say one useful analogy is that the first type of FAS, the neurogenic, results from brain hardware issues, and the second type, functional, from software problems.
We've always said the brain is a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
My mouse has been broken for years.
No, dude.
I got no control.
My organization system is all messed up. I got to defrag it sometimes, but I'm still using an old processor.
I'm scared I'm going to lose my old photos.
Right. Right. I'll forget how to tie my shoe or something.
I swear, I saw there was a show that came on years ago. It was a short-lived sitcom, and it had this comedian. But anyway, he was like, he had that look like when you're cleaning your ear with a Q-tip, you know, you get a little too deep, you know. And he said,
right.
He said, that feels so good, but I'm always afraid I'm going to go and scratch my brain and erase my phone number.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. You can't go too deep because you might hit the reset button. Now, some people who suffer from FAS have said that conditions of emotional and psychological stress can actually cause or exacerbate the condition.
Oh, yeah.
So if they have FAS and then they're going through a emotional or psychologically stressful situation, that accent will get worse.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Stronger.
And I've seen evidence of that, not necessarily with the accent, but patients that have had a stroke, they may have fully recovered. But if they get sick, if they go through like a serious emotional trauma, if they're under a lot of additional stress, the problems they were dealing with from their stroke can reemerge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as severe, but like if your arm was paralyzed from a stroke and you worked hard for months and months and months and you've gotten back, you know, functional use of your hand, okay, and then your spouse dies, okay, you can begin to have the same type problems with your hand that you had while you were rehabbing it.
Yep.
Until that stress is resolved, then it may cause you similar problems.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about this. This can be a result of a trauma to the brain, be it a stroke or a brain injury or a tumor. It works for all of those things.
Sure.
You know, anything that has been an injury to the brain has a lasting mark
mm-hmm.
and can come back if your brain is stressed, or like if you're sick, your brain kind of just says, you got to feel bad so that I can do what I need to do.
Yeah.
So that I can make your immune system kick into gear so that, you know, I can make sure your heart is still functioning and everything is working while you get better. And that's why you get weak and you get tired. So when that happens, all those other issues, you know, stroke victims commonly are, and brain injury patients may have slurred speech for a mm-hmm. period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That will come back.
Yep. Yep. So it's the same for this as well. Now, FAST has been documented in cases around the world, you know, including accent changes from Japanese to Korean. So, you know, smaller changes than what like our ear could hear. But if you speak Japanese, you know, that's not a Japanese accent.
Oh,
that
sure.
That sounds Korean now. Or like British English to French, American English to British English, and Spanish to Hungarian.
Now that's weird.
Yeah. So, you know, you think, okay, if I go from this, do I start talking like this? You're thinking, well, maybe it's in me DNA. Maybe it's just so far back in me DNA. But, you know, if you go from Spanish to Hungarian or British to French, where is that? Now, according to WebMD, FAST can also cause certain speech changes, such as small errors in how you pronounce a word. So, for example, instead of saying ball, the word you speak might sound like Paul.
Mm.
So again, it sounds like stroke, right?
Right.
And I know because my grandmother, she had a stroke many years ago, and there were some changes in the way you pronounce certain things. Mm-hmm. And it says you might also inject a lot more when you speak, substitute, delete, or distort certain words, mm-hmm. and have difficulty properly pronouncing long multisyllable words. Which that makes me feel like I have FAST now. Because that's a description of how I do this show. I add a lot. I have trouble pronouncing long multisyllable words.
Yeah. You got you know, it. You're on it.
I probably do. That's why I do this every now and then. Now, what are the risk factors of foreign accent syndrome? Well, in 2019... there was a study that looked at 112 FAST cases, and they found that the majority were adult, right-handed women who were native English speakers. So,
well, that's a very specific group.
Very specific group. And that's something I'll touch on too, but all but one of the cases that I have to show you are women. And I had to search to find a male patient recently with FAST. So it seems like FAST is something that happens more to females who have English as their first language. So it doesn't mean that they speak American English, but Australian English, British English, something, some form of English will then get changed to where they're still speaking English, but with a different accent. And in these 112 cases that they looked at, it seemed like all of the women were right-handed, which is an odd coincidence. I don't know if that has something to do with the neural pathways in your brain, because they've said for many years that right-handed and left-handed people think differently, that left-handed people are more creative, stuff like that. So I wonder if that has something to do with the way your brain is wired.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely does.
So, now it says the people who they studied had never had any contact with the country or geographical area of the accent that they picked up. So it's not like this person lived in Germany for a decade and then just reverted to that because they heard it for so long. You know, they didn't have any contact with that area of the world.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense where the accent comes from.
Right.
Now, this may not fit in here, but I'll go ahead and tell you. I had a patient that was native Spanish speaker, but became fluent in English. She had a stroke, could no longer understand English.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
She could totally understand Spanish and speak it, but could not understand English. So, you know, I know that's not exactly what we're talking about, but it gives you kind of some insight on things that the brain, that trauma to the brain can cause. You know, right. they're unique to different individuals, depending on where in the brain the problem is.
Right.
You know, so if hers was language reception, it would make sense that the most recent language she learned to comprehend was the one that she lost.
Right.
You know, as her native tongue would be more ingrained.
Right. Sure. Yeah. And that's why this makes FAS and a lot of these cases so odd, is because they don't have any experience with this language or this accent.
Yeah.
Now, according to the research, you're also more likely to have other neurological conditions along with FAS. So most of the time, you're not going to just be perfectly healthy and something change. It can.
Yeah.
But most of the time, that's not how it happens. Now, they say you have a higher risk to develop FAS if you have aphasia, which is a brain disorder that affects your ability to understand written and spoken language. So you may, you know, the way you write and how you communicate. So you could develop FAS. Apraxia, which is a rare neurological condition that affects your ability to carry out learned movements on command, such as tying your shoes. If you have a high risk for stroke, dysarthria, which is speech difficulties caused by brain damage, agraphia, a condition that causes you to lose your ability to write, and alexia, which is a condition that affects your ability to read aloud or understand written words or both. So all of that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But there are some cases that don't fall into any of those. But let's look at some cases here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, Live Science had this one. It says, a woman in Italy who went to the emergency room experiencing a puzzling symptom. She suddenly began speaking in a Canadian accent, even though her native language was Italian. So the 50-year-old woman went to the emergency room when she suddenly began experiencing difficulty speaking and writing, as well as slurred speech that lasted about 5 minutes, according to this report. After the episode, doctors noticed that the woman's speech was normal, but she had started speaking with a Canadian-like accent in both her native Italian and in English.
So she was saying stuff like, that's a more, eh?
Yeah, exactly. That is more a. If she's got Canadian there. Eh? Don't you know?
She started buying bags of milk.
Yeah. She started going oot and a boot and a boot.
We have Canadian friends, so we,
yeah,
we know this thing.
If you listen to early episodes, we're picking on our friends from a Canadian podcast about their bagged milk. There was a long debate back and forth about bagged milk. So, you know, Italian was her first language, obviously, and English was her second language, but she spoke with a Canadian accent in both when they had her speak Italian or English. Now, she learned English at school beginning at age 10, and later through her work in English-speaking countries, is what the report said. So she had been speaking English for many years. Now, one distinct trait of her new accent was, quote, Canadian raising, a feature of Canadian English that changes the pronunciation of certain vowel sounds known as diphthongs. For example, the OU sound in house and about. So that's the joke I just made. Yeah, instead of out oot. And about in a boat, yeah. The oot, oot in a boot in a boot. So she would say a boot instead of about, which is apparent. I didn't know this, but it's apparently called Canadian raising. Don't you know? Now, the woman had worked with colleagues in Canada for 20 years, and these colleagues told her doctors that her new accent was typical for their region. So this lady did have experience with the Canadian accent, but she had never had that accent prior to this episode. Now, at the hospital, the woman underwent several brain scans, but the results showed no signs of brain injury. The week before her hospital admission, she did test positive for the Rona, but they said didn't have it when she arrived at the hospital. You know, she tested negative, and they don't see how that could have caused it at all. But this report put it in there just as part of her medical history.
Well, that'd be crazy if everybody just started coming down with this after having COVID.
Right? Right?
Yeah. I would be like, can I pick?
Right.
If I'm going to have one, if I concentrate really hard, can I have a different one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to have a British accent, like a real one, not like
mine.
I can't even do it.
Yeah.
My kids can all do it better than I can. I don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
The only accent I can do reasonably well is whatever grew. Accent is from Despicable Me.
Oh yeah,
I can do that, but I don't even know what that is. I'm just doing an impression of Gru.
Yeah, I don't think it is a specific accent.
It might be like an Eastern European. That's what I was going
to say. Now, this next case comes from the MIT Press, and it says on September 6, 1941. The German-occupied city of Oslo was attacked by the British Royal Air Force. Now, the frightened citizens caught in the open frantically sought refuge from the falling bombs. One of the casualties of the air raid was a 30-year-old woman named Astrid, who was hit by shrapnel as she ran toward a shelter. She was seriously wounded on the left side of her head. Now, hospital staff feared she would not survive, and after a few days, however, she regained consciousness and was found to have a paralysis on the right side of her body, and she was unable to speak. Over time, her paralysis receded, and she gradually recovered her ability to speak. However, her speech had changed, and people who heard her detected that she pronounced everything in a German-like accent. So think about that. That was a serious problem in Norway at the time when the military occupation had created intense antipathy, it says, toward anything German
because of
the war and all that. And so her speech caused shopkeepers to refuse to assist her.
Clearly
she had no desire to speak as she did. And even more mysteriously, she had never lived outside of Norway, nor had she interacted with German people. So during the war, she tried to stay away from interacting with German people because of, you know, the war. Well, she developed this German accent, and everybody around there then started shunning her, which seems to be a common thing. Unfortunately, in a lot of the interviews that I watched, the poor people with this foreign accent syndrome lose friends. They get shunned at places.
And you would think,
yeah, you know, I can see it in 1941.
Right. Yeah.
But these are people now 2024. They're living with foreign accent syndrome problems and they're losing friends because their accent changed.
Well,
they're shopkeepers that are not taking them seriously because they come in with an accent that's different to their area.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, people. What is wrong with you?
I know it seems bizarre, but I could see where, you know, how you'll have friends who, you know, you feel like, hey, I'm close, you know, this is a good friend, you know, maybe not my closest, but, you know, and then something happens in your life and they kind of step out, you know, because they don't want to deal with it or whatever.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, you start talking with a foreign accent and they're like, yeah, this is weird. Or think you're faking.
Yeah.
You know, and, and they just like, yeah, peace out, man. No, I'll tomorrow. No, I'm busy, man.
That's not good for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you said about faking it is something that was a common thread through most of these interviews. Is people said their friends, their even some of their doctors at first thought they were faking this accent for attention. And they're like, do you really think I want to have this accent 24/7?
Yeah.
I would love to speak the way I grew up speaking. You know, there, I'll talk about her, but a lady in Australia, you know, her accent completely changed and she lost friends because they thought she was faking it for attention after what went on with her. And she's like, no, I loved my Queensland accent.
Yeah.
I don't want this accent, you know? And it, so, I mean, I know I'm weird. I'm different. I wouldn't care. You know, as I've already said, I love accents. I love hearing different accents. So I would want them to speak to me more.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah.
Hey, it's changed. Talk to me more. I realize I am an anomaly, but I still find it hard to believe that if you're actually friends with them, that just a change in accent would make you go, nope, I'm out. You know, I mean, you would think it, but like you said, they're friends in quotes.
Yeah.
They're acquaintances that just were, you know, using you for whatever, a good hang or whatever. And then they're like, eh, this is too much.
Yeah. So. Cause a member of my family that I'm close with, a friend that I'm close with, I'm going to know because I'm going to pull them aside. Man, look, you can level with me. I won't tell them. Are you faking this crap?
Yeah. Is this legit?
Because if you are, it's funny. Stop. Because people are getting weirded out.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm cool. But if this is the way you're going to talk from now on, okay. You know?
Yeah. I just need to know, true or not. And then if it's true, we good. If it's not, how did you pick up such a convincing accent overnight? That's what I want to know.
Did you take acting classes? Come on.
Right. Right. is that Babbel? Did you learn that on Babbel?
Like you don't pick up an accent with Babbel.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
It would help if you could.
Right.
Because sometimes, because when I try to say Spanish words, you say them, you sound like people that actually speak Spanish. I say them, I sound like a hillbilly saying Spanish words.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, well, like Amanda's mom. Yeah. Oh man. And that, look, I love her. I love her to death. I'd do anything for her, but we'll go to a Mexican restaurant and she'll get out that, chimichanga. Oh man. It tears us all up.
Can I have one of them chimichangas and one of them enchiladas?
Oh man. I'm telling you, it's great.
Let me get a bowl of that queso. Like.
Well, you know, again, that's accent. That's because I grew up in Texas and there are a lot of Spanish speakers here. I have Spanish speakers in my family, you know, so when you hear it all the time, you know how to pronounce it. Even though I lost my ability to speak a lot of the Spanish that I used to speak. Which brings up a thing. I'm going to interject this. Every time I go to Walmart, I texted you this today. I have got to relearn Spanish because when I moved up to Tennessee, I just kind of quit using it and it went away. I did that Control-Alt-Delete thing and wiped those files.
Yeah.
I can understand it more than I can speak it. You know, if I hear something, I can say, oh, that's what they're talking, but I can't speak it as well. Well, every time I go to Walmart, there is this one older gentleman that checks the receipts as you leave,
mm-hmm.
and he speaks Spanish. Well, every time he'll look at me coming, go to check my receipt and speak to me in Spanish. And I'm like, no hablo español. And he's like, oh, lo siento. And then start talking English. And I'm like, okay, what makes you think? Because I've heard him do it to other people. He just speaks English immediately to other people. And I'm like, what about me?
You've got the says, look.
Yeah, that must be. I've got the look of somebody who can, I don't know what that is, but.
You are the epitome of Tex-Mex.
That's it. That's probably it. And half the time I do understand half the words he says.
Yeah.
You know, like he asked me the other day, oh, do you feed the birds? Because I was buying bird seed in Spanish and I caught enough of it to understand what he was asking. But I then had to say, I don't speak enough Spanish to keep this up. So let's revert to English, please.
But I'm going to agree to something I wouldn't have normally.
Right, right. We need to keep it in English because it's so tentative here that I may say something that we both regret, you know? Like in Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon is learning Mandarin and he says something and they're like, you just called him a syphilitic donkey. You know, I'm like, that would be me. I didn't mean to call you a syphilitic donkey. That's just what happened. I was trying to say, I like your coat. And now this next case comes from an NPR article and this lady's name is Karen Butler. Now, when Karen Butler went in for dental surgery, she left with more than numb gums, it says. She also picked up a pronounced foreign accent. So Butler was born in Bloomington, Illinois, and she moved to Oregon when she was a baby. Now, she had never traveled to Europe or lived in any foreign country, and she says that she's an American born and bred, her words. But she doesn't sound like an American anymore. Her accent is now a hodgepodge of English, Irish, and perhaps a bit of other European accents. So the problem started about a year and a half ago when she was put under anesthesia while the dentist removed several teeth. She said, I just went to sleep and I woke up and my mouth was all sore and swollen and I talked funny. And the dentist said, you'll talk normal when the swelling goes down, Butler said. Well, the swelling soon went away, but the foreign accent didn't. Neurologist Ted Lowenkopf, director of the Providence Stroke Center in Portland, diagnosed her with foreign accent syndrome. Quote, it's usually the result of a brain injury, Lowenkopf says, which can come from stroke, head trauma, or other diseases that can cause damage to brain tissue like multiple sclerosis. But Butler, they say, may have suffered a small stroke while she was under anesthesia.
That's what I was going to guess.
But she won't know for sure unless she has a brain scan. And she says her insurance company won't pay for one, so she's not going to get one.
Right, because if she's not showing other symptoms of have had a stroke, that didn't come out right. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying.
Yep.
She doesn't look like she's had a stroke, so we're not going to pay for the scan.
Right, right. And unfortunately, that's how it works. But, when I was reading that, I thought it could be. She could have had a small stroke or something due to anesthesia.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder, too, because of the level of consciousness you are brought to under anesthesia.
Right.
Could it have unlocked something?
Ah, that's a valid point.
And that's something we haven't thought about. We've talked about damaging something and it causing this and being like, well, where did it come from? What if it's not damage? What if it's an unlocking, like accessing a part of your brain that you didn't access before?
Right.
And I would wonder about her, particularly because of the conglomeration of accents she developed, where it wasn't, I went to straight having a German or a Spanish accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a mixture of different ones. It's like she was almost creating her own.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was something that caused her to unlock something in her brain that gave her that ability.
Yep.
I'm reaching out here, but I mean, you know, when you look at this and you see how little we really understand about it, thinking that's as good as any.
Right. Right. And I have a theory here in a little bit that, kind of goes along those lines. Now this next case comes from the My Strange Brain TV show. I don't know if you remember that one, but
vaguely.
It did have some interesting cases. Well, Kath Lockett of Stafford, England, in March of 2006, Kath started suffering severe head pains. She said when it first started happening, she was talking to her sister-in-law on the phone, and she started to slur her words. Well, the next morning, she said it was like her mouth was numb. Over the next 4 days, her speech finally went away completely, and she's having to write things down that she wanted to say. She couldn't actually speak them. Her mouth was just numb, and it wouldn't work. She was worried that she'd never speak again, but she was taken to the hospital and was diagnosed with cerebral vasculitis, which is inflammation of blood vessels in the brain that apparently starved the language areas of the brain of oxygen. Now, finally, after several days, her speech started coming back, and she said she noticed that it sounded different. She said, I lost 47 years of speech in 4 days. She said, now she sounds like she has a German-type accent most of the time, and occasionally she'll say things that have a French inflection to it. But there's also other speech issues that she has as well, and not being able to say full words sometimes. Like, the word will just, it's like she'll try to say finish, and it'll come out finit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word just won't finish. So it's, hers is definitely from damage to the brain.
Sure.
But why? Why it's German?
Well, maybe
they don't know.
It's changed her speech so much that, you know, the way her tongue moves, you know, the way her mouth sits, her vocal cords, that it just sounds German.
Right. Right.
And I think that may be a lot of this, because if you think about the motor aspects of speech and how much plays into it, your vocal cords, you know, can control the tone and the pitch. So if you have a condition, a neurological condition that paralyzed one of your vocal cords or partially paralyzed your vocal cords, it could change the pitch and the tone.
True.
Of course, your tongue is just a big giant muscle. And if you have something that affects the movement, the ability for you to form letters in your mouth, you know, whether it's, you know, rolling an R or, you know, making a click or closing off a hard consonant. I mean, if you lose that ability, you may begin to sound more like, you know, German or English or French instead of whatever your native tongue is, just because your mouth won't make those movements the same way.
Right.
And it just happens to sound similar to an accent that people are familiar with.
Yep. And that's one thing some speech therapists say is that it's just a change, and we are putting the label of what accent it is on it. And I can see that as being the case on some of them.
Right.
You know,
but just like with paranormal stuff, Not all of them.
It doesn't happen with all of them. Exactly. Exactly. Now, I got a few more quick ones here, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
Okay.
These are all from 60 Minutes Australia. So all of these women are Australian. Now, Cindy Hastings of Australia, she was born and raised in Sydney. She had never been to Europe, but she now has a thick Eastern European accent. Sarah Caldwell from Plymouth, England, she moved to Australia, but that's why they ended up on 60 Minutes Australia. Anyway, she's from Plymouth, England. She now has a very thick Chinese accent that she developed after stroke-like symptoms. So, and this lady, if you hear her speak, she says, "My friend told me I sound like I should be working in a Chinese restaurant." Because it's not just certain things. It's the full change of how she speaks. Like, it's not just she says this whole sentence in the way we say it, but she, you know how when you speak a language that is not your primary language, you don't put the same verbs or adjectives in the right place, or you may not use all of them.
Right, right.
She's doing that. She sounds exactly like someone who moved from China to Britain and started speaking English.
Like leaving out articles, you know, like the and things like that. And
yep, certain things that in when they speak their native Chinese, they don't have those
words, right?
Same, those, yeah, the same speech, the same fluff words that English has.
Right.
And so when they then speak English, they leave some of those out and it sounds different to us. She's doing the same thing. So it's not just that her voice changed because of this. It's her whole pattern of speech changed to exactly what a Chinese, native Chinese speaker would sound like, which is just wild.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's not just the whole pattern of speech changing. No, no, it doesn't. Now, Kay Russell from England, she has a French accent that came on after a migraine. So she had a migraine. When the pain subsided, she had a French accent. Sounds like she speaks French. And it's weird because she will say, like another lady in here, she actually says words that are French, like impossible, not impossible with a French accent. She will say impossible.
No, that's so really weird.
Yeah. So why is that?
I don't know. I think I read this same article where her husband said every morning she made him toast and then it started coming out French toast.
Well, I'd rather have French toast. I'll just say that. That's a good woman.
Adam's
to go through the
man. Leave the jokes to me.
No, I'm just thinking, should I cut that out or not? Now, there's another Australian woman who she developed a thick Irish accent 10 days after having her tonsils removed. So she said she was singing at home, trying to get her singing voice back. And a string of weird sounds started coming out. And then it settled into this thick Irish brogue.
Yeah, now that's really weird, too. Because I can see where a tonsillectomy, it changes, you know, it could change your vocal quality. It's not going to change it that much.
Not going to change your accent.
No.
Right? And 10 days.
No.
To wait 10 days after the procedure.
And then just
it would happen immediately. Yeah. Now, believe it or not, there's actually a second Australian woman who also developed a thick Irish accent, and hers happened mid-sentence. She was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, it just changed to an Irish brogue mid-sentence.
She's been watching Peaky Blinders.
Maybe. Maybe.
That is crazy to me.
Right? Right? Just such a quick switch. And neither one of these women said that they had any neurological problems, no headaches, no stroke, no nothing. It was a tonsillectomy. And then this other lady was just speaking, and it changed. Nothing changed. Now, they did MRIs on both of these women, and the speech centers of their brain were shown to be much more highly active than someone who doesn't have FAS. So what they did is they put them in an MRI and they scanned it. Now, the speech center of the brain was supposed to have like black and white sections, and that would show normal activity. Both of these women had red and blue activity in their brain, which showed super high activity of that speech center. They said, this is not normal. This is amped up. Like, your speech center is amped up.
Yeah.
Well, the second lady I talked about, hers has been with her for a lot longer than the tonsillectomy lady, and hers is not quite as active. It's still hyperactive, but it doesn't have as many hyperactive spots. So they were wondering if, because she's lived with this accent for long enough, that it has, that activity has settled down to a degree, but the hyperactive spots are still the ones that are causing her to have an Irish brogue.
That makes you wonder if there's something they could do to those spots.
Mm-hmm.
And turn them off or turn them down. Yeah.
Like some stimulation, like specific pinpoint stimulation to those spots.
And that, you know, and that's one of those things where it's like, so I'm speaking with a foreign accent, which may or may not have caused me some significant problems, you know, socially or in my job or whatever. But now you're going to drill into my skull and start poking around in my brain.
Right. Right.
You know, as interesting as it would be without any other reason to go in there and do that, they're not doing that.
Right. I would be keeping my foreign accent. I'm not going to have you poking around my brain.
Yeah. Because what if they just turn it off completely and you just lose the ability to speak at all? I'd rather speak with a foreign accent than not be able to talk. You know, in any way.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so it does limit what we can understand, because this isn't killing anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the number of cases is small.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, the last case I've got for you is the male that I found. You noticed all those other ones were ladies. Well, this is the one male case that I found. In 2023, a man in his 50s from North Carolina developed an uncontrollable Irish brogue accent, end quote, after being diagnosed with prostate cancer. So the man had never been to Ireland and had no neurological abnormalities, psychiatric history, or brain MRI abnormalities when his symptoms began. This is the first time a person has developed FAS linked to prostate cancer diagnosis.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your prostate doesn't usually control any aspect of your language.
Maybe. Maybe in teens.
Setting him up.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, could his be what we were talking about with psychological stress, physical stress?
Yeah.
You know, maybe
that's as good a guess as I could come up with.
But they said there was no abnormalities on the MRI. So it didn't show that that changed anything. But we don't know. It was just another one of those, like the woman from Australia who mid-sentence switched to an Irish accent.
Yeah.
So it's really odd. But they do have some treatment options for FAS. And it says treatment for FAS depends on the underlying cause. If there's no underlying conditions, possible treatments may include speech therapy to learn how to recreate your previous accent through vocal exercises targeted at pronouncing sounds deliberately in your, quote, regular accent, counseling, therapy, or support groups to help you cope with any issues in your life that result from FAS. So, like they said, like I was talking about earlier, you know, some of these issues are people thinking that you're faking your new accent or feeling that you've lost a part of your identity, because some of the ladies in that 60 Minutes story, it really, like, they were really upset because they said, you know, I lost 47 years of my life.
Right.
Because I spoke this way for 47 years. There was one woman who did a, she did an advertisement for TV mm-hmm. before this happened. Now she will go back and listen to that. And she has her Australian accent in that. But now she has that French accent. And like, she cried every time she heard it because it doesn't sound like her anymore.
Right.
You know,
and imagine,
she's like, I don't know who this lady is that I am now.
Imagine the lady with the Mandarin Chinese accent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this may sound facetious, but it's not meant to. You'd almost have to stop going into Chinese restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because the staff would think you were mocking them.
Making fun of them, yeah.
And try to convince them that you're not.
Yeah, since this isn't such a widely known condition,
yeah,
they probably wouldn't believe her.
No, they. I mean, anybody would do that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you would think, oh, you're going to come in here with this weird accent. You're making fun of me. You
mm-hmm.
know, how dare you? Yeah, you'd.
Right.
I mean, that would really. I mean, especially if you're a good person, you'd be like, I can't do that to somebody.
Right. Right.
No, I don't want them to think I'm mocking them, and they're not going to believe me if I tell them what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Now, if there are underlying medical conditions that cause the FAS, it says you can, you know, if you had a stroke, that maybe they can use anti-clotting medications to prevent further strokes. For brain injuries, maybe anti-seizure medications, diuretics to reduce the pressure in your brain, or surgery to repair major damage. For aneurysms, maybe surgical clipping of blood vessels to stop blood flow. Mm-hmm. For MS, disease-modifying therapies to slow the progression of the MS symptoms. But none of these have been proven to work on anybody with FAS. So they are possible, and they are doing them, but they don't seem to be changing the speech patterns and the accent of the person who has foreign accent syndrome.
Yeah. I think your study group is so small that
sure.
they may not ever, unless this becomes like a widespread thing.
Yeah.
They won't ever really know what will be the best course of treatment. At that point, they're treating what they think might be the cause. And,
yep.
and it may work. It may not, but you don't have enough patience with it to get a decent sample size.
Right, right. Now, some thoughts I had, and I'll get your thoughts on some of this too, Matt. You know, I know the condition in a lot of cases is caused by a brain injury of some kind, mm-hmm. but where do the accents that some of these people get that they've never heard before come from?
Right.
You know, if I get it for the lady that spent a lot of time with Canadian people,
mm-hmm.
that was in her brain somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so maybe she reverted to that because her brain forgot what her accent sounds like. And that's the one that came to mind. And she's like, oh, this is what I sound like. And her brain just started doing that. But if you've never heard a native Mandarin speaker speaking English, how do you get that accent?
Yeah. I'm really hoping that you come out with the theory that I have.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if it, one thought I had is, could this be proof that our brains are simply receivers of information, like we've talked about before, like radios, instead of generating information? And when you have an injury, it tunes into a different station than it was originally tuned into. So we've talked about before that there is a worldwide consciousness, and our brains only pick up this information.
Yeah.
We're not generating this information. And that's why some psychics can pick up from the other side. What if when you have an injury like this, it simply switches the station, just maybe two notches over, you know, from 109.3 to 107.3. And now all of a sudden you're picking up a thick Irish brogue instead of the English accent that you had before.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the start of proving that we're receivers instead of conductors.
I, you know what? That's not the same theory that I had, but I like it. I mean, I do. I really do like that when you go back and you look at those episodes we did on remote viewing and that's a big concept with remote viewing. You know, when we've talked to our buddy Randy about psychic abilities, you know, the idea that your brain is just like a big radio. I mean, I do. I like that idea that could be the potential source of an accent that no one ever had or has no reason to have.
Right. Right. Now I got two last things. Then I want to get your thoughts on it. But one speech therapist I heard speaking said they aren't speaking in a foreign accent. You're just hearing a foreign accent. So I'll ask two things. Is that not what an accent is? Like I was saying before, you know, I don't think I have a foreign accent, but if I go to another country or even another part of the U.S., it's a foreign accent to those people. So I have a foreign accent when I go somewhere else.
Right.
Right. And then a few of the ladies that I listened to on different documentaries, even like I was saying, spoke words as if they were from that country, not just the speech pattern. Like I was saying with the impossible, with the French pronunciation. So isn't that the definition of an accent? So when he says we're just hearing it as a foreign accent, maybe in some cases, but not in all cases. And isn't hearing an accent what an accent is? Mm-hmm. You know, people hear me and they go, that fool's from the South. That is a Texas accent. I hear it.
And if there's no one to hear it, do you have an accent at all?
Right, exactly. I don't hear my accent, so.
And I don't either. And being around people that talk like me, I don't notice anything about them. But definitely pick up on different changes of the Southern accent, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I meet other people.
Right. Right. So Matt, what do you think is going on here? You know, I get your theory on what foreign accent syndrome.
All right.
Is.
So here, I've got two. One I think is more probable than the other. The one I hoped that you had that I was thinking is reincarnation. That these are lingering aspects of past lives. that, you know, this person has, you know, never been to Ireland, doesn't have Irish friends, doesn't watch Irish TV shows, lives in Australia and develops an Irish accent. Maybe they were Irish in a former life. And a lot of that is just still clicking around in the consciousness. It's just in the background. Okay. You know, it's not something that you can pull up, but every once in a while we see something leak in from a past life. That's why we get all those stories. I saw one the other day, that was, you know, really compelling, about a daughter calling her mother a nickname that her great grandmother called her. There was no way this woman had died before this child was born. So where does that come from? Same thing with the foreign accent. You know, it bleeds in. Once the physical brain, where the conscious resides, is injured or stressed or damaged, then it lets some of that other aspect of the consciousness kind of flow in. And you wind up with a foreign accent.
Yeah.
Here's my theory that may be more probable. So it's like the uncanny valley or pareidolia mixed in. Okay. It sounds so much like an accent we're familiar with that it becomes eerily similar.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you speaking like a German? You're Australian. Yeah. You're American. You're Canadian. Why do you have this German accent? Well, it's not a German accent. It sounds like a German accent to me. That's weird. Okay? If we weren't familiar with a German accent, or that it even existed, and we heard it, we were just like, you're talking funny.
Yeah.
You're not pronouncing words the same way. That's odd. And then the pareidolia aspect of it, which of course is, you know, we tend to see patterns in, or look for patterns in things, look for similarities in things that may not really be there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So our brain is hearing this person that we know that is speaking completely different with what sounds similar to a foreign accent. So our brain says, it's gotta be a foreign accent. It's gotta be German. It's gotta be Mandarin. It doesn't make any sense. So we give it that, even though it may not really be that accent. It may be close. Now that does not explain why, you know, an Australian woman would say like impossible instead of saying the word impossible with a French accent.
Right.
That it doesn't explain that, but those are my two ideas of what might explain this odd condition.
Right. And I mean, those are as good as any, because right. Science doesn't have an explanation right now. Maybe we will in the next 10, 20, 30 years, but we don't right now. So it is a medical mystery to us currently. So I have to ask the question, what do y'all think? You heard all this information. Maybe you've looked it up on your own. You know, go watch some of the interviews with the ladies from 60 Minutes Australia, stuff like that. And tell us what you guys think about foreign accent syndrome.
Yeah. And the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. It's a private group. You can share your thoughts, opinions, funny stories, personal experiences, all of that stuff. No one's going to call you a fruitcake. We're all just here to talk about this stuff that we enjoy knocking around, you know, whether it's, you know, Bigfoot, you know, a haunted place or foreign accent syndrome, you know, it's a really great community to be a part of. And then you can check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And on our website, you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show, and you can become a patron. And we always want to thank everyone who has donated to the show. It literally keeps Adam and I moving forward with the show, you know, being able to do the upkeep that we have to do. So we always want to thank everyone for that. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. It brings the show up the chart, so more people find it when they search, and it makes Adam and I feel pretty good too.
Yep.
All right. That was really good, man.
It was fascinating.
Absolutely, absolutely. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.